Wisconsin's archery and crossbow deer seasons kick off September 12th, 9 days from today. While COVID-19 is affecting the hunting permitting process and some safety programs. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network, and I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin's deer hunting seasons are right around the corner, and our guests from the DNR are here to help us get ready. So what questions would you like them to answer for you this morning? And also, I would love it if you'd share some of your favorite deer hunting stories, especially if it makes you laugh or smile just thinking about it. We could use that. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. You can email us, ideas@wpr.org. And our guests are Jason Roberts, the recreation warden with Wisconsin's DNR, serving nine counties in the southeastern part of the state. Jason, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
We also have with Jason Bob Knack this morning. Bob is the big game section chief with Wisconsin DNR. He manages deer and elk policies statewide. Bob, good morning to you. Bob, are you there? Doesn't look like we have Bob right now, but we will continue with Jason. Oh, Bob, are you there?
Lee, I'm here. Sorry, I traded some earbuds that weren't working for me. So happy to be on this morning.
I will say, in my normal role, I am a technical director on the morning show. Bob, I am with you every step of the way. I've been there. Yesterday. Bob, and I will begin with you this morning, though. Before we get into what's changed with this pandemic, let's talk about the tradition of deer hunting in Wisconsin and all the things that have stayed the same. What does this tradition mean to you?
Well, you know, I'm born and raised here in Wisconsin and have been hunting, you know, since I was 12 with my dad and family and friends in a traditional deer camp in northern Wisconsin. And it means a lot to me, and especially now since I have my own children that I'm raising up to go deer hunting as well. I have two girls that are 10 and 12 and just entering those ages where they can go hunting with their mom and dad. And you just can't replace that time spent in the field with your family. And it goes so much more beyond harvesting a deer. You know, the excitement of preparing for the hunt, the camaraderie of the hunt with the people you're hunting with. And then, of course, if you're successful, all the things that come with securing that deer and putting in the freezer and then ultimately consuming the venison. It's all part of a great outdoor experience.
And Jason Roberts, as we look at the upcoming deer hunting seasons, how do you see these seasons through the lens of the pandemic that we're currently working our way through? Are challenges for certain, but are there opportunities too?
Sure, there certainly are. I can tell you, if the summer use out on our lakes and trails are any indication as to what to expect for the hunting season, I expect a pretty busy year this year. In my 18 years as a warden, I can't remember a time when people didn't use the waters more, use the trails more, our hiking trails, our ATV, UTV trails more than what they've used this summer. So I think it's going to be a very busy time. I think people are anxious to get out, and especially given light of how hunting occurs, you know, the nature in which you're out on your own, it's going to be a great opportunity. There's going to be a lot of people and a lot of ways to stay safe and still recreate and get a little exercise and do something people love.
Bob Knack, how do you see things differently this hunting season because of the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, as Jason mentioned, a lot of things are canceled. And again, I can speak from my own experience with young kids that are involved in a lot of different things, from soccer to softball. And a lot of those activities have been canceled. And so you're looking for things to do with your kids. And, you know, we visited a few of our state parks this summer. We did some fishing. We did a lot of spring turkey hunting as well. And so, you know, I can see people looking for things to do this fall. And Wisconsin is such a great state with our seasons. And I would really encourage people and expect people to be out enjoying the outdoors.
You know, fruitless day fishing or a bad day hunting, it's still a good day. Can you get outside?
Oh, no.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. Anytime you can be outside and you know, again, if you're out hunting, you know, pursuing the game that you're after is one thing, but especially with kids, there's so much opportunity to teach them about about the outdoors when you're out there and all the different things that you see. And so it's really a great outdoor classroom, if you may.
Bob Knack and Jason Roberts, our guests from the DNR, as we're getting ready for deer hunting seasons right around the corner, nine days away from the archery and crossbow season. Jason, is the DNR advocating that masks be worn this season?
Well, I think we should follow anything the requirements of the government and the governor. So we should adhere to any recommendations as far as that. As far as a solitary hunting experience, I'm not certain whether you need to have a mask when you're in the tree stand, but certainly when you interact with other people and other hunting members of your party, whether they're in your family or extended family, precautions are being recommended. Both in the field and then certainly in the classroom setting for a lot of people that may be new to hunting this year, or you may have a child or youngin that's just getting into it, that's taking a safety class. Our safety classes are requiring masks and distancing to the degree in which they can still produce a product. There's some gun handling that's going to be required, and there's going to be close contact, but precautions are being put in place, and the instructors have been told and asked to maintain as much distance as practical and still put out a quality product for our students.
So here is one of the changes that we do see with hunting season Wisconsin as a result of the pandemic, and that is changes for safety classes. Now, I would imagine that moving safety classes to a virtual realm probably wouldn't be the safest way to teach them. This would be something that would have to be to some degree hands-on and in-person, and therefore would require whatever the health requirements would be for in-person. Are these classes being held outside? Are they? Is there opportunities for... How do you keep these classes as safe as possible?
Well, I guess from start, I mean, a lot of our classes are, we have what we call field days, where most of the training takes place outside. We're limiting the sizes of the classes, the amount of contact between instructor and student. We're also asking, we've got a fairly robust online training module system where you come to the field day, in essence, with a lot of training already achieved. So you simply show up during the day. It's a one-day course where you go over a lot of the practical components and demonstrate that you have those skills before you're going out. I mean, this hunter safety education, for anyone born after 1973, which is, I mean, Craig, what do you think about it? That's 48 years old.
So easy.
So if you're younger than 48 years old, you're going to need to take a class. And in essence, what we have is if you're over 18 years old and you're interested in hunting this year, you can simply go online. We've got two different training modules that you can take and get your certification to hunt this year. If you're under 18, you still require an in-person class. And like I said, all those precautions have been made as far as the distancing and that. But it's very important that you have the safety component covered, because this, in essence, is a class that is going to carry you the rest of your life. The training you receive in these hunter education courses are, in essence, your license to hunt for the rest of your life. So we take it very importantly, and we don't want to water down any training in light of the pandemic, because this is something that stays with you.
It's Jason Roberts along with Bob Knack, our guests from the DNR this hour, as we talk about the changes to the deer hunting seasons 9 days away with crossbow and archery, as well as the things that stay the same, the timeless elements of deer hunting season in Wisconsin and the family tradition that goes back generation upon generation. If you've got deer hunting stories this morning, we'd love to hear. If you've got questions for our DNR about deer hunting, our guests are available to you this morning at 1-800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Gun deer season in Wisconsin starts November 21st, but before that, the Youth Deer Hunt, October 10th and 11th. Deer hunting season for hunters with disabilities begins a month from today. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network, and I'm Lee Rayburn. We're sharing our stories this morning and answering your questions about deer hunting in Wisconsin. all the ways the tradition has stayed the same and the changes as a result of the pandemic. Our guests are from the DNR, and they'll answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bob Knack is the coordinator of the Deer Management Assistance Program with the DNR, and Jason Roberts is a safety specialist warden with the DNR. And we talked to Jason about changes as a pandemic in safety classes and how important they are. Bob, you coordinate Wisconsin's Deer Management Assistance Program. Can you tell us about this program and if the pandemic's had any impact on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Deer Management Assistance Program, or DMAP for short, works with landowners, both private landowners and public land managers, to improve the habitat on their properties for wildlife. And a lot of the focus is on deer, as most landowners are owning their property for recreational purposes and deer hunting. And so we work with those landowners to offer recommendations on ways that they can improve their property for the benefit of all wildlife species. And it may range from timber harvest to planting trees and shrubs, wetland restoration, improving upland habitat. It really depends on the property. And so that's a really great program. It connects landowners with our wildlife biologists and foresters that are professionals and can give them that advice. How the pandemic has affected that? Slightly, in that our staff meet with these landowners if they enroll 160 acres or more and do a site visit on their properties. And we were delayed a little bit in that, of course, with our Safer at Home order and the bounce back plan that our department has for meeting with private landowners. And staff are doing that now, but we just got a little bit delayed in the beginning.
And what are we seeing for deer hunting licenses so far this season? Do we get any indication whether or not there any comparisons to years past yet, or is it too soon?
I think it's a little bit too soon. However, we have been monitoring that data, and I just looked at it last night in preparation for today, and it looks like we're trending, at least in deer hunting license sales, comparable to the last 2 years in overall hunting license sales. And if you include our patrons' licenses, our sportsmen's licenses, which are combo licenses, those are actually trending a bit higher than the previous 2 years. So all in all, license sales, you know, look good from this standpoint. And I think, you know, anything relative to COVID and specifically to deer hunting, we'll see much closer to the 9-day gun deer season. That's when a majority of our deer hunters purchase their licenses.
And as we get towards the end of November, there may be a little bit of cabin fever that would call us out to the wild again. I just an educated guess there. Jason Roberts, what specific, as we've got the archery season, 9 days away, what specific license does a deer hunter need for the crossbow and archery season?
Basically for this coming season, which would be, I think, September 12th, it opens up. It would be your archery license or your crossbow, or you can get a combo, which entitles you to utilize either weapon for purposes of harvesting. So not much is required. It's a great opportunity. And once again, you know, even archery hunting is a little more solitary, so in light of the pandemic, I think it's even a better option to consider if you're interested in getting out hunting.
Are junior deer hunters able to hunt with a crossbow?
Yes. Basically, hunting, you know, is open. We have what's called the hunting mentorship program, which in essence allows people of any age. I mean, we have an idea as far as what age is appropriate for people hunting, but it's open to anybody, and you as a parent know your kid better than we do. So it's been opened up to you make a decision if your kid is appropriate and responsible and mature enough to hunt. And if that's the case, there's a mentorship program, which is a one-on-one interaction where you don't necessarily have to take hunter education. You can, if you're new to hunting and want to just give it a try, there's an opportunity for you to go out with an experienced hunter, somebody over 18, and see a little bit what hunting's all about without the commitment initially of taking hunter education. So that mentorship is a big program we really push.
That's Jason Roberts, Safety Specialist Warden with the DNR. Bob Knack also joining us, DNR Big Game Section Chief, answering your questions. If you're an avid hunter this morning, what do you want to know about changes? If you're an avid hunter, what can you tell us about the tradition? And do you plan to go out this season and try to get a buck? Be interested in hearing from you at 1-800-642-1234. We do have a couple questions coming in. And let me start with Mark from Rice Lake, who's upset that Wisconsin's now allowing crossbows for hunting. He says it is spoiling the sport, in his opinion. And he's fine with older people with disabilities using crossbows, but he says it shouldn't be for everyone. How was the crossbow debate decided within the DNR?
Well, I can handle this one. As Mark mentions, the crossbow debate is pretty split amongst Wisconsin sportsmen, whether they support their use throughout the archery season or if they should have an abbreviated season. Right now, you can use a crossbow throughout the archery season, and Wisconsin actually did a pretty detailed evaluation of crossbow use, its effect on deer hunting license sales, and if you're tracking public input on this topic as well, it's been on our spring hearing ballot and the topic of many of our surveys. So we are, gauging public interest in crossbows, and there's certainly benefits of crossbows to allow their use, as Jason mentioned, for hunter recruitment and retention. It allows younger people that may not be able to pull a compound bow back. It allows them to get into hunting a little bit earlier. And, of course, it extends hunting opportunities for older individuals that may not be able to pull back a compound bow as well. So there's those types of benefits. From a biological standpoint, we took a look at our buck harvest through the years and before and after the full inclusion of crossbows into the archery season. And what we saw is that the total number of bucks being harvested doesn't change significantly. It just changes when those bucks are being harvested. And, of course, with crossbows included in the archery season, it happens a bit earlier than historical, when much of the deer harvest was, or the buck harvest, occurred during our 9-day gun deer season. So things are changing on that end, but biologically, at least right now, we're not seeing any significant concerns. And of course, that's something that we'll continue to monitor over time.
Well, and you mentioned the crossbow making it available for accessibility in hunting in Wisconsin. And it's something that the DNR has made a priority of, as you have the deer hunting season for hunters with disabilities, which begins a month from today, October 3rd, and runs through October 11th. Now, as I understand, that registration is already closed. So tell me a little bit about this program and how it can work for people, how accessibility has become a priority for the DNR. I don't know who wants to handle that, but I did find it interesting that, you've got the deer hunting season for hunters with disabilities, and it comes up in the debate over the crossbow use.
I can give a first crack at it, and Jason can follow up if needed. But the gun hunt for hunters with disabilities, of course, is an opportunity for those folks to get out, experience the outdoors in a generally, when the weather's a bit nicer than it is later in November. And we ask landowners that are interested in providing these opportunities to sign up by the middle of June. And then those hunters are able to reach out to those landowners to coordinate their hunting plans. And so it's just a great opportunity to give people with disabilities a nice chance to harvest deer. And I know they appreciate it, and it's a very successful program.
Let's talk a little logistics before we get to the news. Jason Roberts, tell me, when I go out as a hunter this season, what do I need? What do I have to have on me? What kind of proof do I need if I am to come across a warden in the woods?
Sure. Yeah. When you're, that's one of the things that has changed recently within the last several years, as far as the types of tags. There was a time in which we wore back tags on our back, in essence, a license plate to hunt. Those days are gone. And what you need nowadays is simply your driver's license or a Go Wild card, which is basically looks like a little credit card that the department, you can purchase from the department for, I think it's $3. It's just a card that you can use in perpetuity. It just, in essence, gets recharged with your licenses. It's something that we as wardens, when we contact you, we can scan with our phone. you can actually go old school and print out your license. We don't print them ourselves, but you can print them from any printer at home, or some retailers also offer a service in which they print them off. Or if when you purchase a license and you have a valid email, you know, on your account, you'll get a PDF that's emailed to you that can serve as your license. So when I'm checking whether you're hunting, fishing, trapping, and you're out there in the field, I'm going to ask to see a license. And any of those four things, a printed license, your driver's license or ID, a PDF from our department, or that Go Wild card will serve as your license. So it's not much is asked as far as what to carry, as opposed to the old days with back tags and multiple tags stretched out.
There's one of the changes from our guest, Jason Roberts, Recreation Warden with the Bureau of Law Enforcement through the DNR. Our other guest from the DNR, Bob Knack, Big Game Section Chief. As we get ready for deer hunting season in Wisconsin, a tradition pretty much like unlike any other across the state. And if you plan to go, we want to hear about it from you. Or if you've got stories of hunts past, you can share those as well at 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us at ideas@wpr.org. Your news is next. And the conversation continues. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and staying informed is more vital than ever. So we've added some new programs to the mix on the Ideas Network, and you can check them out online. 1A follows us now here on the Ideas Network following 9 o'clock. The national show 1A, hosted by Jen White, can be heard in its entirety in 2 hours from 9 to 11. If you were expecting On Point, which used to be our neighbors next door, you'll find it moved to 1 o'clock following Chapter a Day here on the Ideas Network. Take a listen, let us know what you think, and find the details online at WPR.org/fall2020. So the DNR could use your help, and they're our guests this hour. Have you heard of Operation Deer Watch? It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about deer hunting in Wisconsin this hour. What's changed in this pandemic and all that hasn't? Questions? Stories? Parents, have you gotten your kids into hunting? Why do you think kids should get involved? What benefits do you see as part of the hunting culture here in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234. You can always email ideas@wpr.org. Our guests are Jason Roberts with the DNR, who serves as the southeastern part of the state, and Bob Knack is the DNR's coordinator of the Deer Management Assistance Program. Bob, tell us a little bit about this Operation Deer Watch and how we can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, citizen science is becoming increasingly popular and is a great way for the department to work with the citizens of Wisconsin, engage them in the work that we all enjoy doing. And Operation Deer Watch is just one of those programs. Basically, we're asking people to record their deer observations in August and September. And we use that information to develop fawn-to-doe ratios, which is an estimate of annual production of our deer herd. We talk about deer numbers in the state, and of course that can be debated depending on where you live and where you hunt. Some people would say that there's too many deer, while others would say there's not enough. And rather than debate and argue about specific numbers, we monitor trends in herd metrics over time. And that fawn-to-doe ratio is a great way to look at, you know, what the herd is doing in annual production cycles and how many fawns are out there and if it's going to be a good production year or not. So really encourage people to check that out online. You can download the forms to do that. It's easy to do. And it's also a fun activity to do with your kids. And I mentioned my girls earlier. And on Sunday evenings, we'll go for a drive in the neighborhood here in the country and record our deer sightings. And so it's a great way to another opportunity to get those kids out of the house.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned the herd matrix. What does the current population of white-tailed deer look like across the state as far as we know?
Yeah, you know, and it's really a story of a tale of two stories here in Wisconsin. We have our deer herd in northern Wisconsin. The habitat and winter severity is much different than the farmland regions of the state. And so you really got to consider each of those separately. Northern Wisconsin, of course, winter impacts on deer, food availability. It's much more specific to browse and timber harvest up there for providing food for the deer. And of course, they have a lot more predators to deal with in northern Wisconsin that are, you know, consume deer as well. And so up north, you know, I think our herd is rebounding. Again, there's certain counties and parts of the state that have low deer numbers than the rest. And if you hunt or live in those areas, you'll probably debate that perspective. But overall, I think the herd up there is on the increase. Our farmland zones of the state, you know, always have had healthy deer populations, and in some cases, maybe even too many deer. You know, as we monitor that, those fawn-to-doe ratios, deer will and the herd will balance itself at some level. And so if we start seeing annual production indices going down, we might suggest that maybe deer numbers are kind of at capacity and need to be reduced. And so farmland areas of the state, again, good deer numbers in most areas, even on public land, if you can find the right spots. And so I would expect hunters to have a good season in those areas.
Where are we in tackling the issue of CWD?
Well, CWD is here to stay in Wisconsin. So tackling it or getting rid of it, I think is not going to happen. And what we're focusing on now is slowing the spread through the state. And just as the name indicates, it's chronic. And so it's a slowly developing, slowly spreading disease. And that doesn't mean hunters shouldn't hunt. Of course, we want people to be out there hunting and consuming venison. Get your deer tested. The department offers a lot of opportunities for hunters to get their deer tested. We have some stop-in stations throughout the state. We have self-service kiosks where you can drop the head of your deer off for testing. You can call your local wildlife biologist to make an appointment to have your deer tested. And we're looking to expand to other areas as well to make it as easy as possible for hunters that want to have their deer tested, to have them tested so they consume the venison.
It's Bob Knack, Big Game Section Chief with the DNR, along with Jason Roberts, Recreation Warden with the DNR, our guest as we get ready for archery and crossbow season, just 9 days away now, right around the bend here, to start our deer hunting seasons in Wisconsin. And if you've got questions, our DNR guests have answers at 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. And if you've got hunting stories, we've still got time for those this morning as well. And Judy from Germantown emailed us to say that she understands that lead shot, when left behind after a deer is field dressed, can poison and kill eagles and other predators. What does the DNR know about lead shot and its impact on our environment?
I could take a crack at it again. Jason, by all means, step in if you want. Don't mean to be doing all the talking here, but yeah, as she indicates, raptors and things that feed on deer carcasses can consume the lead that essentially when you hit the animal, it fragments within the animal, and so they consume it that way. However, the use of lead ammunition is completely legal in the state, and there's information out there that hunters can use to inform themselves on lead ammunition, but also non-toxic ammunition and the benefits of using that. Essentially, the bullet with non-toxic, such as copper, does not fragment, and so it stays whole. And so, you know, it's not a toxic to the raptors that are feeding on them either. And so a lot of hunters are moving that way for that very reason.
Okay.
The non-toxic ammunition is a little bit more expensive depending on what you'd purchased in the past. But I'll say, at least from my family's experience, we've found that it's more accurate, when we're on the range shooting it. And so, yeah, it's a choice out there for hunters to make. And I would encourage them to check out the information available to them.
Thank you, Bob. And Jason Roberts, as we talk about these deer populations, one of the ways to keep them intact is through harvest authorizations issued with the purchase of an archery and crossbow deer hunting license. Tell us a little bit about how these authorizations are issued and what are they?
Sure. Well, yeah, basically when you purchase a deer license, you're going to be made available. What's going to be made available to you is a basically you as the hunter have to determine which, if you're going to hunt an antlerless deer, when you purchase a license, you're going to get a buck tag, which means an antlered deer. You're going to be given the opportunity to harvest one anywhere in the state as a crossbow or an archery hunter. In addition to that, you get the opportunity to harvest an antlerless deer. But with that harvest authorization, you're going to have to identify the county in which you intend to hunt. But in addition to that, you have to identify if it's a private parcel you're going to be hunting on or a public parcel. Bob can probably speak a little bit more about that, but in essence, they determine how many permits are appropriate for both private, public, and then also on a countywide basis, looking at that data he spoke about a little bit earlier.
And Jason, has the COVID-19 pandemic changed the process of deer registration? Can this still be done by phone or online?
I think this is one of the things we were way ahead of the game. Several years back, we switched from in-person registration to a more convenient system, which is, in essence, an online or a telephone registration system. One of the things that came with that, in the old days, you were allowed to register your deer after a season. With this new system in place, how robust it is, how quick it is, there is a requirement after you harvest or after you actually recover your animal, you need to register it by 5 p.m. the next day. So a little quicker turnaround, but it also gives us better data as far as how our season's going, how many deer are being harvested, because that number is very, very, very quick turnaround with those numbers.
And Jason, you had alluded to access there, and just to highlight that a little here, what does access look like to public lands for the upcoming archery and crossbow season 9 days away? And has the pandemic changed anything there?
I think people are more tied to technology with the pandemic, and because of that, they're finding more apps, more resources online that identify those properties that are available for hunting, both public and private. There's some public individuals that lease their land to the department and open it up to the public. So I'm seeing more and more areas that people have not known were open being utilized, especially, I mean, we've got a season that just started back on Tuesday for teal hunting, for some duck hunting and some goose hunting. And I've seen areas that I've never seen hunters before. And when I speak to them and talk to them, they make mention that with these new apps, both that the department has and then some secondary apps that are out there on the market, they've found places to hunt that are open. So I really encourage people to do a little research, and they may find a little piece of state or private property that's open to hunting that others may not have found. So
you talk about this family research. Yeah, this family tradition that goes all the way back generation upon generation, and all of a sudden we're using GPS coordinates to find a place that no generation has hunted for perhaps maybe a century, if not more. The opportunity for you to get outdoors and enjoy a great wilderness of Wisconsin coming up with our deer hunting seasons right around the bend. And our guests from the DNR are here to answer your questions. And maybe a venison recipe or two before we're done here this morning. And perhaps we'll hear from you as well at 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I am fairly certain that I learned where food came from as a small child traveling to my grandparents' house in Kohler for Thanksgiving and having an entire long car ride where my parents could patiently explain to me why all the deer carcasses were strapped on top of all the cars on the road. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. I had a lot of questions, and you may as well. And there is still time for answers with our guests from the DNR at 1-800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org. Jason Roberts, a DNR recreation warden. Bob Knack is the big game section chief with the DNR, our guest for the remainder of the hour, along with you. And guys, Matt from Wausau wrote in to ask, why not judge if there are too many deer based on examining the vegetation? He says that deer overdensity has led to severe browsing on native trees and flowers, and it has had a negative impact on the ecosystem. He also adds that it's important to remember that deer are just part of a healthy ecosystem, and managing just for them is not the best long-term strategy. But you also talk about land management here, so you're not managing just for them. How do you make a balance in all of this? And Jason or Bob, either one can answer.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a crack at it to begin with. You know, that's a big aspect of our deer management assistance program is working with those landowners. And part of that site visit is with a biologist and a forester. And we actually collect data and information on the effects of deer browse on tree regeneration and native vegetation regeneration. And so that's a big part of that. And in striking the balance between having a healthy ecosystem, but also providing deer sightings and deer hunting opportunities, which are important to the landowners. And that's a big part of that program. That's what it's all about, working with those landowners to try to strike that balance. On a statewide scale, we're actually, our forestry program is actually collecting forest regeneration metric information over the last couple of years that we're going to be using now to better inform our deer management decisions. I mentioned the metrics early on with fawn-to-doe ratios, and we'll be incorporating a forestry or a tree regeneration metric into that as well. So
it sounds like you agree with Matt.
His comments are spot on. Let's look at the, because you know, deer are out there and they're eating and consuming vegetation. And if we want to have deer, we need to have forage out there for them to feed on as well. And so that's a big part of it.
Before we get to our venison recipes, I do want to focus once again on safety a little bit here, Jason, and safety classes, which are essential, but also whether or not these classes have been moved online. Do we have the opportunity to take safety classes online with the DNR, Jason?
Yeah, so in essence, what we have is if you're over the age of 18, you are allowed to take a hunter safety course online. They, once again, they've got pretty robust modules, a lot of point and click, and it's interactive in nature. So it's a good quality product versus just reading text. If you're under 18, once again, you're going to be doing the online training. But in addition to that, we're going to require that you come to a field day and demonstrate that you learned what you read and clicked on. So two different dynamics depending on your age. And I think most people agree that the younger hunter needs maybe a little closer attention, a little less experience, a little less maturity. So they need that hands-on interactive experience. And we're doing it as safe as we can while still putting out a good product. But, you know, hunting is a very safe activity, and a lot of it can be contributed to our hunter education program. You know, on average, we have about 20 incidents per year, hunting incidents, which is defined as something, an injury that's the result of a discharge of a gun or a bow or a crossbow. We don't track other injuries, you know, people breaking ankles, people falling out of trees, which if you look at the data, a lot of people hunt from trees during the bow season, which is approaching in a couple weekends. And we don't track data as far as people falling from trees, but I got to tell you, if you look at statewide surveys, the tree stand is far more dangerous than your firearm as far as who gets injured in the field. So if you're going to use a tree stand in the next coming weeks, a lot of people are putting them up already. Make sure you utilize your harness systems. Make sure you use your haul lines to recover your firearm and to drop your firearm down into the field. So stay safe out there this season.
Jason Roberts, along with Bob Knack from the DNR, our guest. Still time for you at 1-800-642-1234. But as we've alluded to this hour, we may see a more crowded wilderness in Wisconsin for this year's deer hunting season. As we alluded to earlier, we may find hunters in places we have not seen hunters for generations this year as a result of using online maps and GPS. So this might be just another way to underscore the importance of safety out there. You don't want to fall out from trees, but if it's more crowded than deer hunting seasons past out there, what are some good tips to make sure we stay safe and keep others safe as well? Jason?
Yeah. When you're out there, you know, especially if a gun deer season, and we have legislation, we have laws and regulations that when a firearm season's going on, that you're going to be in a visible color. So you're going to be in that blaze orange that you've all seen during November. You're also afforded the opportunity to wear a blaze pink as well. So there's two different colors, but the importance is high visibility. So when you look at accidents that occur out there, bow hunters are typically going to be in camouflage. But remember that even if you're out there bow hunting and maybe you don't have a concern with other archery hunters shooting at you, there are other hunters and users out in our on our public lands, including squirrel hunters, small game hunters. And if you look at some of our incidents, including some of our more recent fatal incidents, they involve people that are squirrel hunting, where maybe they're not dressed as brightly as a gun deer hunter, and people are not identifying their targets and hurting or killing people. So be mindful when you're out there hunting, especially archery hunting, that there are going to be other people out. If you hear something, don't assume it's a deer. Maybe you want to get eyes on something that a branch breaking behind you. And if you do, in fact, see somebody, make an auditory name. Don't wave your hand at them to acknowledge. Go ahead and yell out, "Hunter here."
Yeah.
So that you can verbally identify versus movement.
People, your hours and hours of silence. It's something that it doesn't even come to mind in out in the field that to actually make a noise, a human noise, to let folks know that you're a human rustling in the shrub.
Yeah, people are, hunters especially, are very reluctant to make noise, right. But your safety is far more important than harvesting something.
Bob Knack, venison recipes. For some reason, I look forward to venison chili every year. There's something about chili powder and gamey meat for me that works every season. So this is what I'm looking forward to. What about you?
Yeah, I was thinking about our favorite recipe for our family, and my wife marinades backstrap, venison backstrap, and then wraps it in blue cheese and then on the inside and bacon around the outside, and we do that on the grill, and it is fabulous, and I'm convinced that for my kids that is one of their primary motivations for wanting to go hunting, is just to secure more venison backstrap. So it works well for us.
Bob, when the Knack family opens the restaurant, you be sure to let us know, would you please?
We'll do.
Jason Roberts, what are you looking forward to?
Gosh, I'm looking forward to venison too. Unfortunately, as a warden, we're pretty busy during that season.
So it's going to be in the freezer.
Running around. But I've got a great nephew that often drops off a deer in my garage. Often he doesn't butcher it, but he drops it in my garage for me. So we're good to go. And I love a nice sticky teriyaki sauce, and I make kebabs on the grill with my venison meat.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to every deer hunting season, and that is just right around the bend. It is a weekend from this coming weekend with archery and crossbow season underway, and that starts this season through the end of the year with the DNR here. And I can't thank you guys enough for spending the hour with us this morning. Bob Knack, Jason Roberts, thank you both very much.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
And happy deer hunting seasons. Jason Roberts, recreation warden.
Yeah.
Sorry about that at the end. Jason Roberts is a recreation warden for Wisconsin DNR. He serves 9 counties in the southeastern part of the state. Bob Knack is the big game section chief with Wisconsin DNR, and he manages deer and elk policies statewide. Hey, join the morning show tomorrow at 6 for your Wisconsin weekend, as we're going to take you goose and duck hunting across our state with the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Coming up next, however, we've got the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, as they are part of a lawsuit that is seeking to overturn Wisconsin's mask mandate. One of 34 states plus D.C. with a mask mandate in place. Could it soon be 33? We'll speak with Rick Essenberg following the news, along with Frank Nitti from Milwaukee as part of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's coming up in the next hour here on the Ideas Network.